You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance.
We're going to start off and call this the Sour Hour. The
Sour Hour. It's actually pretty good. Man, I got to hand it to you. Now, I've got a game tonight, so I understand the life that you just lived yesterday, but you were up really late last night after that game, Thursday Night Football. So Bart Scott does the Jets pre and post for all their games on SNY here in New York City. It's a regional sports network. And I was thinking that as I'm watching the game, and it was, what was the worst it got? Was it 35-10 or something like that?
They almost damn near scored on every possession.
It felt like it. It really did feel like it. And so I'm thinking to myself, because I've lived that life too. Knicks are down, 30 in the fourth quarter, or third quarter, and I'm going, I got to watch a fourth quarter
and then
talk about it. So I thought about you, and I was like, damn, like to have to, sit through that is rough. Like, but
we built different, though.
But I'm going to tell – of course we are. You lose as much as our teams lose. You develop, the calluses. But I do have to say, though, your breakdown of what went wrong for the Jets Thursday Night Football – The score, by the way, not even close to being indicative of the actual game. Yeah, it was. The Colts just absolutely destroyed the Jets last night, Thursday Night Football, to open up Week 9. And Mike White gets hurt, so you don't even get to enjoy a little bit of that. Like, that's bad. And then Marcus May gets hurt. So just from a Jet perspective, this was brutal. From a Colts perspective, boy, they really needed this. And I tip my cap to Frank Reich because they probably could have just run that thing up to 70 if they really wanted to, and they didn't.
They got mad when it just like, oh, y'all still trying to win? Oh, we're going to air it out then too. Then we.
Yeah, right. But still, it's – I have to say, though, for me, it's amazing to listen to you break down defense. And what you said about what you saw last night, how the Colts did whatever they wanted – and although Carson Wentz's numbers were impressive, running game.
Yeah, nothing to do with
that. That was a game where the Colts showed the league we can dominate the line of scrimmage. And that's kind of been their DNA for years, right? Yeah. They've always had that big front line on defense, and obviously offensive line has been a big part of it. But they ran all over the Jets. And you went into on the postgame show, and I'm doing this for everybody because I want you to understand that it's not really a Jet thing. This is a Bart Scott thing, and it's also an NFL thing. I said to myself, listening to you explain what the Jets were, what the Jets did wrong and what they should have done and how the adjustment could have been made in-game for what the Colts were doing. And I said to myself, you remember the movie Good Will Hunting?
Yeah.
There's a scene in the movie where Ben Affleck says to Matt Damon, they're at the construction site. He picks him up at his house every morning. They go to the construction site. And he knows that Matt Damon is brilliant. And he says to him, every day I pull up at your house and I hope you're not there because you shouldn't be coming to work with me. You should be somewhere else doing bigger and better things. And I thought that moment, that scene came to mind for me as I'm listening to you.
Like Ben.
Stop it. just listening to you break down, I'm thinking, Bart Scott doesn't need to be sitting across from me on radio. He needs to be on a sideline with a Microsoft Surface in his hand explaining to a bunch of young linebackers, hey, this is what you should be doing right now. Just do this. Because the way you explained it, it made it sound so simple, but yet it looked so complicated for the Jets. Why does that happen in the NFL? Why is it you can see it without even watching film back, but in game, they can't see it?
Well, to a certain point, like, I expect maybe CJ to see it, but it really falls on the defensive coordinator to see it. Because what happens is when you're in the fire and it's hot, all you're worried about is not burning, right? And so what happens is you're trying to escape. And what you saw the Jets do is the path of least resistance. Conceptually, you have to understand what are they trying to do to you. And what they did and recognized is the fact that the Jets had a personnel that in a defensive call that was predicated on close calls and strength calls. So what do? They mess with the strength. So they take the tight end off or they send a motion and it makes guys have to run. And what happens is what's simple, if you're sitting there looking at it, becomes complicated because you're not looking at it. So you're looking at it once the ball is hiked and it looks like a Chinese fire drill, right? And that's really what it was. And when that happens, you have to say, okay, listen, they're dictating to us the rules of engagement. Let us take that back. Let us go with a defense that doesn't matter. You can close it to the field. Like, it doesn't matter. Usually people, what I'm trying to get people to understand is, close call usually goes to the tight end. That means it's a strength, right?
Okay.
Because you have one more lineman on that side to the tight end because you only have a tackle on the other side. So that's the strength of the formation. So you try and put all your people over there. But what happens is they take the tight end off, and you say, okay, alert, shift, or motion. Mm-hmm. He goes to the other side. So now your lineman that's in a certain front here, say if they're in a certain gap here, that gap goes to the other side, so you have to shift. So what they would do is they would go yo-yo with him back and forth and had guys run around like crazy.
Yeah.
And like what you have to do when you have a big guy like Jonathan Taylor, and listen, it was clear that they were outmatched. Quinnen Williams almost one time, I thought he was going on a kickoff or something. He was doing kickoff return. That's how far they pushed him back when Nelson and the center, you know, double teamed him, right? Which basically blocked C.J. Mosley, which made him have to take a bad angle, and he got trucked. What you do is you just cancel the gaps. Like, if you can't beat him, and Brian Billy, you say this all the time, if you can't long stick him, then trick duck him. You guys figure it out, right?
I know what you're saying there,
so,
yeah.
So what it's saying is, like, listen, you can't, man for man, they are better than you. So you put them on the move. You slant people. Use your strength. Your strength is your athletic.
Yeah.
If they're big and strong, you're fast and agile, be big and agile. And make them hit moving targets and move your entry level and let the linebackers know, okay, listen, everything's going to bounce. And at least if you're going to die, die one way. Don't die with getting hit with a hook, a jab, an uppercut, a kick, a DDT, a suplex. Like, man, if you hit me, you're going to hit me with the left hook.
I mean, the Jets were wholly embarrassed only a couple of weeks ago against the Patriots.
This was worse.
And this was worse on national TV.
You want to know why it was worse?
260 yards rushing worse? Yeah. Is that why? Because you literally got manhandled?
It's worse because one thing to be out-schemed and tricked like Bill Belichick did, right? Screens and catching guys inexperienced. One thing for somebody to say, I'm running right here, and it's nothing
you can do about it.
You can do. That is the most hopeless feeling.
Yeah.
And that's why you saw guys jumping out of gaps, trying to run behind gaps, because it was hot in there. And guys, listen, that might be a highlight tape for their yearbook.
Oh, for Jonathan Taylor. I mean, 172 yards on 19 carries. I mean, he's averaging 9 yards. I mean, you're talking about they're creating just absolute wide canyons. Yeah. They say, oh, he ran through the hole. That's a canyon. What happened in that game? I mean, just like, so that's, you know.
Another thing schematically, where they jacked up.
Okay.
If you got, they run a 4-3. So if you got four guys on the line, they have six if they have a tight end, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's six people. That's six mm-hmm. against mm-hmm. four.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
damn near a double-double. Right. Let the backside guy go because we're not running that way anyway.
Yeah.
If you can't handle that, go to a sink front. Which makes it a 3-4, a 3-4. You know what I mean? So now you saw them do it, but it took them a whole damn half to sink down and say, listen, if we're going to lose, we're going to put it on our corners because we need more reinforcements. And they went to a sink front, and they had better success. But why does it take a whole half? Like, what is your eyeballs missing?
That's why I asked that question as I'm watching, is if Bart can figure this out, how is not being figured out on the sideline? And, you know, as bad as Adam Gase was from the offensive perspective for the Jets – Robert Saleh, who's known for his defense, who had some great defenses while he was with the 49ers, his defenses this year have looked absolutely terrible. And so it's sort of like the same thing, just on the opposite side. But, you know, that's the story on the Jets. I mean, you know, Mike White gets injured early on. He actually looked good early. And he gets hurt. He hurts his hand. He can't feel anything in his hand. That's what happens. But Carson Wentz isn't really the story because it was a running game that was a story, but he took advantage of it. For 272 yards, 22 of 30, three touchdowns, no interceptions, no turnovers, no nothing. It certainly was important for him to have a bounce back game after the way things went for him at the very end last week when he threw that terrible interception. Frank Reich talking about his quarterback after the game.
Carson was really on point. I mean, really on point. Had a couple checks. He did some things that weren't in the game plan to get us to some run checks, got out of some plays, some things. They gave us a couple different looks than once we got going. They changed up some. They were trying to make some adjustments to what we were doing, and Carson made a couple good checks there in the run game.
So it really was the run game, and then Carson Wentz was able to, you know, take advantage, as you said, when the adjustments came.
But how can Carson Wentz make adjustments to the adjustments, but the defensive coordinator can't make adjustments to Carson's adjustments?
Again, that's the question that I need answers, as again, the Jets just look like just a really bad team right now. It's unfortunate.
They're good on offense, though.
Josh Johnson, to his credit, too, came in. They did move the ball.
They threw for 400 as an offense.
Hey, if you took the Jets late in that game – whether you thought that was meaningless scores or not, those were very meaningful scores. Because
that interception at the last day would have took it to a one score.
Yeah, no, it was very interesting at that point because you weren't looking at the Jets to win at that point. You were just looking for them to cover, and the back door was open for a little while there. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Of course, we want you to be part of Barton Hunt Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. And so you'd be part of that conversation as we get started here on the show. But there is some news today, and it's news that we have been following for the last couple of days. Odell Beckham Jr., as you know, for 2 days now has been told he doesn't have to practice. And now the inevitable is happening. He is going to be released by the Cleveland Browns. They were working just basically to get his contract, as Adam Schefter was reporting, get his contract to where it doesn't hurt the Browns to release him.
Convert to a signing bonus.
Right, and so it doesn't affect them, and then he now has a chance to move on. And that, of course, Bart, is something that we felt, once we saw this news that they were sending him home, it was pretty clear that at that point they were going, you know, he was no longer going to play for the Browns. Now, the question is, of course, where's the best fit for him? Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns for Cleveland.com, was just on First Take a little while ago. And she had a couple of interesting things that she had in her reporting. And one of them was, first, Odell asked for a trade. He just kind of asked too late. But he saw the writing on the wall. Like, I don't fit here. I'm not being targeted. Let's move on.
And I'm a free agent after this year.
Exactly.
Release me. I need to be able to try and continue my career. I need to put good film on there. And I'm not getting it with Baker.
And so asking for a trade is one thing, but then asked, all right, so were there any teams that made offers for him before the deadline, before Tuesday's trade deadline? And she said New Orleans. The Saints were interested. But if you're the Saints and you kind of feel like, I mean, you guys are in a tough spot. I don't have to give you anything for them. I can wait till you just release them. Yeah. And so instead of me giving up a draft pick, I'll just wait if there aren't any other teams that are offering anything for him.
This is before. I wonder if they knew that Michael Thomas had a setback before he announced it. And they knew that they were, like, we thought we were going to get Michael Thomas. We're not. So let's wait for Odell. But listen, we won and we beat Tampa, so we can be patient.
So you've said the Rams would be a great fit. Yeah. I don't know how he fits there.
It'd be amazing.
Because they just already have. I mean, Cooper Kupp is like his favorite target, Stafford's favorite target.
Robert then
you have Robert Woods.
Right, but this is the thing. In most leagues, receivers get hurt. So if one of those go down, that tilts the balance. This is a team that's all in.
Okay.
That's why they use DeSean Jackson, but they use him sparingly. So now you want a receiver in the middle of the season to come in and maybe learn new terminology and new language. So now you don't want to have to give him too much. Now you can tell Odell Beckham, you're going to be in the third down, three wide package. Learn these routes. These are the combinations. This is how we do things. You don't have time to teach him the entire playbook. It's too nuanced. But now if you have him playing in session, remember last year when Antonio Brown came?
Yes.
He only played in certain
personnel. Yeah, he didn't play much early on. Right,
he played in certain personnel. You have 10 weeks to work him into that personnel. I don't even play him immediately because I feel like we don't need him to win right now. We need him to beat the elite teams. So I'm going to make sure that he's just practicing and getting opportunities, and hopefully we can blow teams out so we can just put him out there and it doesn't matter what he messes up and he can learn on the fly.
You know what? The Bucs are a really good example. And Antonio Brown. That's actually a really good example if you think about him joining a team that already had Mike Evans, that already had Godwin, that already had, you know, guys that –
Cameron Brake, O.J. Howard.
True.
Gronk was there before he got there.
Scotty Miller, who last year they love him. So it was almost like, well, where's Antonio Brown going to fit? And then eventually we found out he didn't have to play a lot. But when he played, he was impactful and Brady found him. Maybe that's how the Rams look at it, if they're interested. But I haven't heard their interest. The Saints, what makes things interesting about the Saints, of course, Bart, is that they don't have their quarterback now.
Right, so.
Like if Jameis Winston was there, different story. Michael Thomas not being in for the rest of the season, sure, he can slip right into that spot. But without Jameis, who's throwing to him?
That's my point.
Trevor Siemian?
That's my point.
So why wouldn't then, to me, if you talk about him wanting West Coast, where he wants to be?
It's either Green Bay or if he wants to win a championship.
Las Vegas.
Yeah, Las Vegas is good too.
Las Vegas, because obviously you know, again, it's a tragic story. Henry Ruggs is not going to be there for them. They're missing a wide receiver. He could fill that void.
But they're going to have to depend on him. See, he's a luxury if he goes to Green Bay. Because A-Ron don't need him until they play somebody great.
Okay.
Right? If he goes there, the Raiders are going to need him to win. Like, Ruggs was their deep threat. He's going to have to be on point. He's going to have to learn. That creates a lot of anxiety and stress to live up to the expectations because he's going to have to do it. Matthew Stafford knows his offense so well, and he has everything he needs. He's extra. So he can just communicate and get Odell where he needs to be by being able to communicate with him either through hand language, signs, or speaking to him before they break the huddle.
Right.
Right, because he's the third guy. Just imagine, in this instance, Odell Beckham is going against your third best cover guy. Odell Beckham is in a slot, potentially, going against your third best guy. He's going against your second best guy or potentially your first best guy if you go to Vegas. And he doesn't know the nuance. Remember when Ocho Cinco went to New England? He still was a good receiver, but he couldn't figure out the nuance of it. So, and they were dependent on him, and he bombed. Same thing with Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne went there and retired.
Yeah, he couldn't
figure
it
out.
Right.
So if he goes there, listen, hey, man, run an option route in the slot. You know what I'm saying? The other guys know what to do. They're going deep. You're
not in their way, so you can do whatever you want almost.
Inside leverage, you just get open. If you're there, you're there. And we'll get the ball in your hand, bubble screen, stuff like that, and he'll learn. He has time to learn without having the pressure if he drops a ball because he's in the wrong place or throw the wrong route and the quarterback throw an interception. Oh, see, Odell's messing him up again. Chemistry killer.
Well, for him, this is important.
And he can stay at home.
Wherever he goes, what's important for him is, of course, having success because right now the narrative about him is – you put him on a team, it's problems. He's not going to be able to win. This is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here is Ryan Clark. I believe this is from Get Up.
Did he take my take?
And he talks about the places that Odell could be a help on his next team.
If he's on the right team, if he's with a Derek Carr, if he's with a Lamar Jackson, if he's a guy who becomes a focal point of the deep passing game, he can absolutely add to a team's opportunity to win a championship. And I believe Odell Beckham Jr. wants to prove to the world that he's still the same dude that we projected to be a Hall of Famer at the start of his career in New York. So I'm excited for him. I'm excited for his split. I'm excited to see where he goes because that place, that destination could very well be a team that has a run to the Super Bowl.
Now remember, RC's got a little connection with Odell, LSU, of course, you know, so knows him well and still believes in him, as you should, because he's still a talent. And this season really haven't been used that much, so you can't really worry about breaking down. That's another part of his, you know, his history.
Receptions. Can I bring up the comp, right? So the natural comp for me, right?
Okay.
It was a narrative in 2006 that Randy Moss was done.
Oh, that's a great
remember,
one.
Randy Moss left Minnesota in 2004. Randy Moss had 767 yards receiving. Randy Moss now.
Yep.
He goes to Oakland, and he has 1,000 yards receiving. The following year, Randy Moss, probably the second-best receiver or third-best receiver in the history of the game behind Jerry Rice, and sometimes somebody can say Terrell Owens, had 553 yards on 96 targets. He was targeted 96 times, only caught 42 balls. This is Randy Moss.
Right.
He's a GIF. You got Moss. It's a whole segment. The following year, remember, he's done. He goes to New England. Randy Moss, 1,400 yards receiving. The following year, 1,000 yards receiving. The following year, 1,200 yards receiving. So we've seen this before. Can I please ask the audience and listeners, when Randy Moss had his bad year in 2006 in Oakland, how old do you think he was?
Well, he's over 30.
He was 29 years old.
Wow.
Today is Odell Beckham's birthday.
It is.
How old is Odell Beckham?
He's 29.
Oh, okay. So, like, I can connect the dots. Looking forward and backwards. Most people can't. Now comp that.
Well done.
Quarterbacks matter.
Well done. I love where your head's at today. All right, so 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And we want you again to be part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back. So are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Simple question, of course. The best destination for Odell Beckham is blank. You fill in that blank. Let us know what you think about Odell and his future. Or do you think, you know what? He's done. He's done. He's not going to help anybody. I can't imagine you would feel that way. But if you do, let us know where the best destination would be for Odell. It's also, by the way, the anxiety meter today, the anxiety index on Friday as we head into now the football weekend for your team. At least my team's out of the way last night. My anxiety index is almost at a nil because at this point I'm numb.
I'm encouraged, though.
I really am numb.
I'm encouraged.
You're encouraged.
I'm encouraged. Man, I'm encouraged.
Bart Scott's encouraged by the Jets. I now need to know what that is all about. We got so much to get to. A very busy show, of course. Coming up, also to talk about the games this weekend, Packers and Chiefs, Jordan Love. It is the autumn of love now, Bart Scott. The autumn of love. We've got a lot of things to look into, what we expect to see on Sunday. And when we do that, we usually turn to one source that is always reliable, that never lets us down, and is generally...
I'm batting a thousand.
Always right. And that is, of course...
OPS is on fleek!
Barstradamus. So that was all Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. We'll get to your calls. Barstradamus will join us next. But first, Bart will tell us about Advanced Auto Parts.
We're brought to you by DieHard, America's most trusted auto battery. We know you have places to go, so don't let your battery hold you back. Get an auto battery that is trusted from the start. Count on reliability, durability, and power of DieHard batteries to get you on the road. Available at your local Advanced Auto Parts and participating CarQuest stores. Back after this in Barstradamus. Oh, you won't want to miss it. I'm feeling good.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Always about the music, Bart. Always about the music, baby.
I don't think I know this one, but it feels good.
You don't know this?
Ah, Shalimar. Shalimar was the band that Don Cornelius put together, right? From Soul Train. He created this band. They were a bunch of dancers and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Shalimar.
I didn't know they were a bunch of dancers.
Tonight. See, I got it. I just had to get a beat. Yeah, Shalimar was made.
This was a sound that didn't last long, but when it was out, it was like a good sound. I don't know. What do they call this sound? Is this just kind of funk? Like, what do you call this sound?
Pop. Like funk. It was like Bootsy Collins.
Yeah, so it's like a little bit of
funk.
That.
It was called funk.
Because this is like Prince picked up on this. Prince had a lot of songs that had this sound. Sheila E. had
That's
a lot of
they
this.
Had to synthesize
the Time, right? Yeah. Morris Day, like this was kind of their sound as well.
Well, you know, Morris Day and Prince are the same people.
Well, pretty much.
He was his understudy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sound. Don Cornelius created this group. He also, Rosie Perez started on Soul Train. She was a dancer in the crowd. She's come down.
She's from New York.
She's bringing from New York. Remember a lot of groups came from there. That's where Rerun came from. That's how he got his shot on What's Happening. Like a lot, like Soul Train.
Listen,
created
man,
a lot of
Soul
people.
Train. Soul Train was a multicultural show.
Yeah.
People think like I watched
it. It was like American Bandstand.
Well, it was, but it was American Bandstand. Let's be honest. Like you watched that and you saw people dance. You're like, is that how people are supposed to dance?
I mean, that's.
But
where,
then you watch Soul Train. You're like, oh, that's how you.
Yeah, that's where Michael Jackson learned how to do the
moonwalk.
They taught him how to do the move. They were doing the drill. They taught him how to do it, and he took it to another level.
I'm telling you, you and I have a sports and music pod or something that needs to be done at some time, at some way, where we can actually play music and talk about it, but that's on another day. Today, we want to ask, is the weather looking nasty? Not so much today, but maybe on Sunday. Don't change your plans. Change your wiper blades. Michelin wiper blades use advanced technology to hug your windshield. Hug it tight. Hug it gently. To channel away water, snow, and ice so you can see clearly and drive confidently. Upgrade to Michelin wiper blades at Walmart. So, we will get to your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got you all on hold. Where you think Odell Beckham Jr. should land next. But you know what? Before we get your takes, we need to hear from Bart Stradamus. As he enters the studio, there's a lot of smoke around us.
Welcome.
We need a smoke machine, I think, while we're doing this, but okay.
Welcome to the show.
Bart Stradamus, how are you? You had another great week last week of predictions. And so right now, though, there's a question that everyone in the NFL needs answered. And I feel like you are the only guy.
Yeah.
No, you really are. I mean it. The only guy that could answer this question.
You know what? I don't know.
No, we know you can't. And that is this. Odell Beckham Jr. will be released by the Browns today. He will not play on Sunday. That much we all know. But what we need to know, oh great one, is where will he be playing next Sunday?
Oh, my child. I've had visions for weeks. Stevie Wonder saw this coming. Odell, where will he go?
That's the question.
I see a Sean.
You see a what?
I see a Sean.
Oh, a Sean.
Oh. My back. My neck. My neck and my back. Someone's back is hurting.
Oh, I see where you're going.
But I see help coming. Here's an ice pack. I see the sun bleaching the hair of OBJ at his Gisty Vitamin D. Oh! Ah! I'm from the dark side. I am not allowed to venture to the light. But oh, I can see the light.
And
it is filled with angels. OBJ shall go home. And that back that I speak is LeBrick James. And OBJ
LeBrick James
shall heal that back and heal that heart as OBJ goes amongst friends. And Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay shall host the Lombardi title. OBJ shall be a champion. And no more doubt as he stays long term. So it is said, so it shall be.
Right, so you're predicting Odell Beckham Jr. to the Rams, and they're going to win a Super Bowl with him in L.A. with LeBron James present.
By his side.
Okay.
Every step of the way.
Well, the Green Bay Packers, the Packers of Green Bay, will not have Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback on Sunday when they take on the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. The question I have for you is, with Jordan Love making his debut in the NFL, will it be love at first sight?
Oh, I love the wordplay. Jordan Love replacing Mr. Alternative Facts. Oh, what a stage. What an opportunity. But Alan, my child, there's a thin line between love and hate.
Oh, no.
And Jake from State Farm has not given Jordan Love the Mahomes price. Not at all.
He should come to Progressive.
He can get your name, your price tool.
He's going to need it.
He's going to need it. Once again, the price is wrong.
Oh, no. Wait, the wrong show.
And Mahomes and the Burger Man himself, Andy Reid, gets an easy one. Mm. It's no love in the heart of the city.
So it is said.
So it shall be.
And finally, Bartstradamus, we have one last prediction for you to make for Sunday. Adrian Peterson, back in the NFL, Sunday night, running for the Titans. No Derrick Henry, AP now with them. Here's the question. Will he have a better comeback than Richard Sherman?
Oh. This is nuanced.
Nuanced.
Yes, I've been reading my thesaurus. The vocabulary has grown.
Phrasing.
Adrian Peterson has always defied the odds. Coming back from a torn ACL. Faster, stronger, wiser as he led the league and threatened the great Eric Dickerson. But this is not the Adrian Peterson of old. He's bounced around the league. His grip is mighty. But it hurts him in catching the ball. As I've seen greater hands on a clock. But that's not the question. Will he have a greater comeback than the great one, Richard Sherman? At this point, Richard Sherman couldn't play dead in a country western.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
So that is not much to do. Adrian Peterson shall represent himself. Okay. But okay is greater than Richard being a liability. So it is said. So it is done. OBJ to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
No love in the heart of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And Adrian Peterson is greater than Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, it is said. So now, will it be? We'll find out. Thank you, Bartstradamus. ESPN Radio.
You question me?
We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit Progressive.com. Coming up, your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And also, well, it's time to make you some money. And we're going to do that for you next. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bart and Han.
Back, Bart and Han, ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. You want to talk some money?
I love that money.
Let's talk some money here for a minute because Sportico.com has put out a list of the all-time, the I guess you could say, the richest athletes currently.
Ah.
of all time. The highest paid athletes of all time. So it's not current athletes, although there are some
how much they're worth now
on the list. Yeah, and it's actually, when you look at the list, it's pretty amazing when I read it to you what the common thread in the top four is. And there's also another common thread that might make you rethink what sport you have your children playing.
Yeah.
The top 25 highest paid athletes of all time, Bart Scott. If you could guess who is number one, who would it be? Now, again, this is all time, so you don't have to be a current player.
All time?
All time.
Huh.
Number one.
Well, it's got to be Jeffrey, because Jeffrey makes like $1 million.
When you say Jeffrey, explain what you mean.
Oh, Jeffrey Jordan.
Yes, Michael Jordan.
Because he makes he makes $1 million a day off of his Jordan brand. It's rare because he hasn't made a new style in like $1 million. They just keep playing with the color. Somebody's sitting there with a computer and they're doing color combinations. They just hit an algorithm.
Yeah. They just make a new sneaker.
Yeah, it's the same shoe. Yes. They just change the color and people go crazy. Oh, my God, they added a blue line. What?
Amazing to think that his deal with Nike when it first started was $500,000 during his rookie year, which is $500,000. It sounds like a lot for back then, 1984. But it will pay him an estimated $150 million in royalties in 2021, and he hasn't played in 20 years. Think about that.
Because he's the culture.
So he's number one, and his I guess they're basing it on inflation-adjusted earnings.
Yeah.
Since he turned pro in 1984, $2.6 billion.
Okay,
that's his worth. Tiger Woods is number two, 2.1.
That's
then
crazy.
After that, Arnold Palmer.
Are these all Nike people? Well, he got a good-ass lemonade.
Turned pro in 1954.
That good-ass lemonade.
His brand, man, his brand. 1.5.
Jack Nicklaus ain't in it.
Jack Nicklaus is four. And he turned pro in 1961.
Yeah, he's been making
money
for a long time.
So staying power is everything. $1.38 billion.
And
then you go to Ronaldo
I would think
at number five at 1.24.
I thought Beckham would have been right there, too. Bennett, like Beckham, you know what I mean?
Yeah, David Beckham is 12 on this list. But what do you get out of the first four?
Nike.
No. Come on. Jordan, Tiger, Palmer, Nicklaus.
Apparel?
Play golf. or be good at golf.
Well, Jordan didn't play. Oh, okay. As a hobby.
Just saying. No. I'm just saying those three of the four play golf and have played it for a very long time and are very good. Now, Ronaldo soccer, you're going to see a lot of soccer, obviously, but number six is Floyd Mayweather at 1.2. LeBron James, he's comes in at seven above Messi, which is a bit of a surprise. And Federer, which I'm actually surprised at as well, but LeBron has really collected
a lot of these dudes are with Nike too. It's all about apparel and selling stuff too.
Top 10 is also, so LeBron, the only NBA, other than Jordan, of course, the other NBA player.
Hold up, man.
No baseball, no football. Messi, number eight. Michael Schumacher, you know, Formula One.
Yeah.
He's ninth.
Alex Hamilton not in there?
And Roger Federer, 10.
No, Alex Hamilton?
No, Kobe Bryant's at 13, Shaq at 14, if you want to get some more names. Mike Tyson, 16, so A-Rod, 17. There's your baseball.
So this is the thing, right? This is the common
KD
thread.
KD at 19?
Right. The common thread is all these dudes have shoe deals, and they can sell something to people opposed to just making money by playing basketball. So it's more money to be made if you sell something to somebody.
Right, yeah. So top 10 is billionaires after that, underneath a billion. But still, pretty amazing list. Michael Jordan at the top, but a lot of golf at the very top. So kids, play golf. We're back in 10 seconds. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Our good friend Harry Douglas going to join us here in 12 minutes.
This is what Odell's saying. I'd rather be with you, yeah. I'd rather mess with you.
Glad you cleaned that up. Tune into football doubleheader Sunday.
Man,
Bart Scott's Ravens host the Vikings. A lot of purple in that game. Awesome. Followed by the Chargers and the Eagles. Coverage begins noon Eastern. On ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. You ready for some lunch money?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I like this. About time. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Let's get some extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
People being held accountable. This is accountability week.
Who's being held accountable?
The fine system is back in for the 76ers. $360,000 fine to Ben Simmons. Oh. He's playing games with people. You don't play about mental health, man.
Okay, that report just came out.
Yep.
Okay. All right, we'll follow up on that. All right, let's give you some lunch money. Let's make you some money. Johnny Pickens, he's recovered. Not as a gambler. I mean, I don't think there's any hope for him. But he's 14-14 now on the season. Solid 500. That's good. He likes the Patriots laying 3.5. He likes the Chargers and a 1.5, also favored. The Cardinals, he'll take the 2 points and take Arizona. He's going to lay 6.5 in the Steelers. Jake the Snake. He like, yo, so you are, it's no big deal, but you're 17-12-1. No big deal.
I mean, even after an 0-3 week last week, I'm still fortunate enough to be so far ahead that they can't catch up to me. So it's not a big deal at all.
No. No,
I got to preface my picks this week by saying it was a bit of a rush job, but sometimes shooters got to shoot from the hip.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
So I got the Chargers with Johnny Pickens -1.5.
Right.
Texans, Tyrod Taylor coming back +5.5 against the Dolphins. Falcons +6 against the Saints. And the Raiders +3. They respond well to turmoil.
You know what? That Raider one is aggressive for you. I think you got to wonder how they're going to feel going into that game. But I'll tell you, you and I are thinking the same thing about Houston. I saw the line at 6, but I don't think it really matters. I'm feeling the same thing there. Tyrod Taylor, so Davis Mills, who hasn't been terrible, will sit. Tyrod Taylor is available, the vet. And Miami's kind of a mess, right? Like, they're kind of a mess right now. There's some questions about about their coach, and some questions also from the outside about whether or not he should stay the coach. I'm going the same way with Houston. Bart, what do you like?
I'm just going, I was wanting to go with Cincinnati in the battle for Ohio, because I always want a bad story to happen. I always like to look at I'm the guy that looks at the train wreck. I'm taking the Bengals.
Really?
Yeah.
Bounce back game?
Bounce back game. Battle for Ohio. They have the better quarterback on the outside, so I'm going with that.
I wonder how Cleveland also, again, on the, they're on home, too. Yeah, and if it's reasonable, 2.5, right? Cincinnati favorite, and they're home. So, all right, that's a good one. So there you go. There's your lunch money. See if we can make you money. You know, again, it's no big deal. You know, as Jake says, it's no big deal. And we love Jake. Jake's done a great job on this segment every week that he's been on it. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We have about a minute. We can get a call or two in here. Where do you send Odell Beckham Jr.? What do you think? Let me see. How about Donovan in Virginia? Go ahead, Donovan.
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, my Raiders should pick him up just because in the offense we have, he can average about, what, 4 or 5 catches a game, above 60 yards. And you know what I'm saying? Because Derek Carr spreads the ball out. And as far as my response to the Raiders against the Giants, we're going to blow this team out, man. Ooh. It might be 50-14, man. And Bart, I don't know if you've been watching BMF. Every time we score a touchdown, every time we get an interception or a sack, all you're going to hear is this, man. You can't stop the rain.
Thank you.
I got to watch it.
I like it.
I haven't watched it yet, but because I lived it. You know what I mean? I'm from the D. We very familiar with Big Meech.
Okay.
But I need to watch and see. I need to do an authentication, see if it's real facts or they just fluffing it up.
Step up your creativity now during Dell's Black Friday event with early access savings up to $300 off, including deals with the latest PCs with Intel Core processors, shop laptops, monitors, and more, plus free shipping. Call 800-BY-DELL. That's 800-BY-DELL. How did it all go so wrong so fast for OBJ in Cleveland? We will discuss that and more next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.